Please enjoy this talk given at the Austin Center for Spiritual Living, where we live and teach the principles of science of mind and spirit. For more information, visit austincsl.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. And a little bit early, Happy New Year. And just by, 3 days? Anyway, this morning, our theme is on the idea of letting go and moving on. And this is an old theme for us because we do something like this every year. And every year, we do pretty much the same sort of thing. Sometimes different words come out of my mouth. However, there are some things that are repetitive and I hope not boring to you, but they are so good for me that I often give them to you. I have an article that I clipped out of the Albuquerque Journal a long time ago when I was living in Albuquerque, and it talks about goal setting with respect to Lou Holtz. Do any of you know who Lou Holtz is? Of course, some of you people have been around a while. He's a great, great, he's still around, football coach. But this is way back in, like, I think he stopped coaching around 1992, 1993, or something like that. But he was an incredible guy. And he always wanted to be the coach for Notre Dame, and he did become the coach for Notre Dame, and he took them to championships, and he was a proponent of goal setting. And I want to read you a little comment. These are comments that he himself made and is quoted in this article here that I read. He had an unauspicious beginning, as you can see by his comments. He said, "I'm 5'10". Weigh 152 pounds, wear glasses, speak with a lisp, and have a physique that makes it appear like I've been afflicted with beriberi and scurvy most of my life. I'm not going to impress anybody. I'm not a great football coach, and I'm not a very smart individual. I graduated 234th in my high school class of 278. My guidance counselor wanted to know if I was going to work in the steel mill or at the powdery. And I said, I was going to Kent State University. She said, you don't have the academic background to succeed. I said, you don't think I'm very smart, do you? I'll never forget what she said. She said, Lou Holtz, a lot of people don't know what's going on, but you don't even suspect if anything's going on. And then there's a long article about his background and things that led up to him finally getting ready to go to work. And he says this, I don't think I've ever been lower in my life at this particular point when he'd been looking for a job. I don't think I've ever been lower in my entire life, but my wife was supportive. And she bought me a book about goal setting. I got out a pencil and paper and started to write down all the things I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the White House for dinner. I wanted to go on the Tonight Show. I wanted to see the Pope. I wanted to go to various continents. I wanted to land on an aircraft carrier. I wanted to go on a submarine. I wanted to jump out of an airplane. I wanted to win the national championship. I wanted to coach at Notre Dame. I wanted to make coach of the year. I wanted to make a hole in one. I wanted to do a lot of crazy things. The more I wrote, the more excited I got. I had 107 of them. I went to my wife and I said, honey, look at this. 107 of these suckers, and we're going to do every one of them. And she said, gee, that's nice. Why don't you add, get a job? So we made it 108. Well, the story is well known about Lou Holtz, and if you're in sports circles at all, you know that he went on to do remarkable things, and even after he retired, he's been a great influence on a lot of people. The thing about that article I like so much, first of all, it's kind of funny, and it's nice to recognize he comes from very, very humble beginnings, or appear to be, but there was a burning desire within him, and goals made an enormous difference to him about being able to articulate or to picture what he wanted his life to look like. You know, I came across a study, rather extensive study that was done on managers and goal setting and how effective the goal setting was for these managers. And one of the bottom line results of this, there's a whole lot of data that came out of this, is, but only 10% of those managers had written down specific goals, but 90% of what was accomplished by that 10%. This is incredible. This begins to say something about the power of writing it down. And you say, well, why does writing it down have anything to do with it? Because most time people are scattered all over the place in their thinking. When you write something down, you have to focus your attention. And there is a power in the universe that's going to flow to the focus of your attention. And when you can be very specific about something and have a clear picture in your mind, then you're giving it power. And I ask the question, how many of us, and I have to ask myself this question, but how many of us have articulated what a better life really looks like to us? And so often we're reflecting on something from the past. Now, goals are reflections of our dreams, and our dreams are reflections of our inner urges, our inner desires, our inner drives. But oftentimes, those desires are covered up by what I call self-created obstacles. Self-centered, self-created obstacles just occurred to me as a better way of putting that. And to move on in life to a fresh, new, exciting experience of that life, we got to let go of the stuff. We've got to let go of the past. We've got to let go of those self-created obstacles like resentments and bitternesses and other barriers and hurts and different concepts that we have about ourselves that become barriers to us, like I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough or I don't have enough education or whatnot. And how many of us bind ourselves to where we are right now by giving our attention to that alone? And you see, this, being able to face that, is just as important as setting the goals. Because if we got those big barriers there and we're setting goals, sometimes we're just fooling ourselves because we're not dealing with that has to be moved out of our life. So often, what we hold on to is holding on to us. So often what we hold on to is holding us back in life. I have a quotation from Winston Churchill, one of my heroes, where he said this, and I love it. If we dwell on the past in the present, we lose the future. And why is that? Because that's where we give our focus. That's where we give our energy. Today, we're going to do a process, and the process is in two parts. When you enter the sanctuary this morning, you were given, as well as a regular bulletin, a couple of sheets. I think you have these. Does anybody need one of these? Okay, I guess you're okay. One says letting go. It's a half sheet. And the other one says my goals for 2004. And we're going to do the letting go part first. On this particular sheet, I want you to take it out, and I think you can write on the back of your program pretty well. And it says, I release the following resentments, bitternesses, barriers, obstacles, or whatever else stands in the way of my experiencing the highest good of life. And we've already talked about some of those kinds of things, some of those self-induced ideas that we may have about ourselves. I want you to write those down. I'm going to give you a few minutes. And then when you're finished, come up front, tear it up in a bunch of little pieces, drop it into the bowl and say to yourself, I release and I let go. All there is God. Say that to yourself, or words to that effect, as you drop those torn up pieces in the bowl. Okay? I release, I let go. All there is God. Well, she's really tearing that one to pieces, isn't she? That's wonderful. Let's just take a moment now and have a prayer of releasement. Is that a word? Releasement? It's a good one. We let go. We let God. We know that all there is God. And that all of these things that we hold within us and have experienced that have become the barriers to our moving forward into a greater expression of life don't exist in the mind and heart of God. And that's the only place that we exist. All there is God. I let go. I let be. I give thanks. And together we declare. And so it is. Okay. The next part of this exercise, part two, has to do with this goal setting sheet. You have that in front of you. Just take a look at it for a moment here. You'll notice that there are six areas here. Spiritual, family, personal, vocational, career, and physical health, and financial. And what I want you to do is to write in each of those spaces, and if you run out of space, you can write on the back of this. And if you run out of space, then you can call on somebody else. I don't know that we're going to have enough time to, you know, fill all the spaces, but you may. And you can take this with you and add to it, because that's what I ask you to do. There are certain criterias for writing goals that I want to talk about just for a moment here. First of all, you know, notice that each one of these six different categories here, I have a couple of things parenthetically, like under spiritual. Well, what do I mean by spiritual? Well, practices that you might be interested in incorporating into your life as part of next year's experience, like prayer, meditation, spiritual classes, community participation, or whatever, and so on down the line. Financial, at the very bottom. Your income, your investments, your debt, your giving, and whatever else that might come up with you around that area that has to do with the substance of your life. But the criteria that I'm talking about here this morning are four simple points. Number one, these are your goals. Make them personal to you. You're not establishing goals for somebody else. That's not permitted. You might want to do an affirmation for somebody else's good in some way that's not going to interfere with their own initiative in life. But these are your goals. You can't write goals for your mother-in-law and one of those say be that she get off your back. You can pray that she resides within the harmony and balance of the universe and accept the God presence within her. Number one, make them personal to you. State them positively if you're going to write them out, write out something. Do it like you would an affirmation. You wouldn't say to yourself that, it's going to happen. It's going to happen sometime. You say, it is happening right now, or it has happened. Or it can make them just as simple as saying, say, for instance, that you want to increase your salary by $10,000 by the end of this next year. You want to go from, say, $50,000 a year to $60,000 a year. You could just write down $60,000 a year salary by the end of 2014. That's all. You don't have to write an affirmation. But if you decide to, make it positive. I am experiencing, by the end of this year, a salary of $60,000. You always state it as though it already is, or that it's unfolding toward a particular point in time. The third is be realistic and at the same time be challenging. Push yourself just a little bit. I remember a friend of mine who used to do workshops all over the country, all over the world as a matter of fact, and she talked about some of these things, and she made the comment one time, if you're achieving all your goals, they're not big enough. Okay? I like that. So challenge yourself a little bit with them, but be realistic. The fourth thing is realize, and this is something that I've realized over and over, and I'll talk a little bit about this after we're finished going through this process. All your goals are not necessarily going to be accomplished this year. And you say, oh, that's negative. I'm supposed to affirm that they're all going to be accomplished. Well, I'll tell you, from a practical standpoint, I have not accomplished all the goals that I put down, but I've accomplished so much more that I've amazed myself at times. This can be a starting point for you. So you got that. Make them personal. Make them in the here and now. Be realistic and push yourself just a little bit, challenging yourself. And realize that they're not necessarily all going to be accomplished now. This can be your starting point. So go ahead and get going with it. And I will check with you in a moment to find out where you are, or in a few minutes. Probably pretty close to having the first draft of your goals for this next year. I want to wrap this up a little bit. And as I say, you can take this with you and you can add to it at any time, and I recommend that you do that. One of the things I want to recommend to you is that you put it somewhere where you can look at it as often as possible. I have my goals from last year, 2013, right here. Same form, change the date is all. And this is what I wrote last year at this time. And I have a little, one of these plastic kinds of page protectors, you know, you slide a sheet of paper in it. And on one side I have the roster for all of the leadership team. And so I'm looking at that often. But the other side of it, that's where I have my goals. And so every time I pick up that roster, I have the opportunity to turn it over and take a look at them. Just remind myself what I have in my heart, in my mind. And I find that in doing that, sometimes I modified them considerably. Sometimes they don't change at all. Sometimes I'll scratch one off. That is a considerable modification. This last year I hadn't done it. But I'm amazed when I look at it. Have I accomplished everything? No. I've not accomplished everything that I have here. One of the biggest, and it's my first thing here on this one, isn't that amazing? Deeper meditation. I've never seemed to be able to meditate as much or as deeply as I would like to be able to, but I touch it once in a while. And I look at other, enriched prayer life, oh, I do a lot of praying. I get lots and lots of requests, so I do lots of prayer work for people, and I'm very happy with that. I look down in this, take course in communications. I haven't taken a course in communication, but I've got one. It's all on DVD, and I'm ready to start at any time, when I find the time, you know? But that's okay. It's going. And I've reminded myself, oh, yes, this year I put down enhanced communication. That's with my kids and relatives, but that's okay. This is developing communication skills. And I look down at so many of the things that I have on here. Buy a new home. We bought a new home. Review and adjust portfolio. And we've done that. But it's giving our attention to things. This year, there are some very similar things. At the same time, there are some very different things from last year. I just wanted to mention one more thing. You think that this is something that I just talk about once a year? Here, or if at best once a year, I've got in my hands all these goal sheets going back to 1988, and I just kind of tuck them away in my New Year talk folder as time goes on. And it's wonderful to go back and look at these things and realize, of course, this one was done at a time when I had a different wife, but so that's changed considerably. But it's, that was not one of my goals, by the way, necessarily. But it's wonderful if it's a convenient, even easy thing for you to do to save them. You may even want to scan them and put them on your computer and once in a while go back and take a look at them. My life has changed dramatically through the years. You know, I can't say that I have a scientific study to validate or data that it's been the result of goal setting. Because it hasn't. It's been the result of a lot of things. But this is one of the elements that's made a difference in my life. And I'm happier today than I've ever been. I've been on a planet over 80 years. And I am happier today in what I'm doing. I feel more alive than I've ever felt before. And believe it or not, I'm more ambitious than I've ever been before. And that's a testimony, I think, to living in a certain way. And I've been fortunate, too, in a lot of ways. But how much of that has been the result of the direction of my consciousness? What I'd like now is to give you an opportunity, whomever would like to say a little something about maybe what transpired for you last year related to the goals that you might have set, or anything else that's going on in a way that can express the transformations that have taken place in your life as a result of opening yourself to really allow spirit in and through your life to express as you. Anybody have anything that you would like to share with us? This is testimony, good old-fashioned testimony, folks. Yes, Vicki.
Yeah, I do.
Stand up.
Well, years, 20-some years ago, I got involved with Science of Mind and the Church of Religious Science, and I was taking practitioner courses and doing things like this and writing out a vision of what I saw my life like. And I, too, was with a different husband at the time. But what I wrote out was I wanted this life that was free to get up when I wanted, to be married to a partner that... to be married to a partner that had the same interest as I did, to be able to enjoy life and meditate when I wanted to meditate, to exercise when I wanted to exercise. And I just had this whole vision written out. And my marriage started falling apart, and I ended up getting divorced, and I was struggling and going through all this, and I wasn't going to church anymore. And some 15 years later down the road, we lost our son. I'm married to a new man now. We lost a son, and we started reading as we were traveling across country. I picked up my Living Science of Mind book, and I started reading it out loud while we were on the road. And as I'm reading this book, I'm realizing, oh my God, I'm living this life that I wrote down when I was married to my previous husband, because I am in a relationship now that we share all the same likes and desires. We can get up when we want. We can walk when we want, go fishing when we want, take a trip when we want. And I can't help but give that over to being more and more open to letting spirit just move through and work in my life. And I am more convinced and convicted every day of my beliefs.
Thank you very much, Vicki. That's wonderful. Kim, come on. Come on over here. Might be easier. I guess we've got enough, but I...
22 years ago, I stopped drinking, changed my life, and... I was looking for something really positive, and I just put it out there, and my aunt, I didn't know at the time, sent me a Science of Mind magazine. I'm nervous, sorry. And I didn't know what it was. I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is really cool. So I was headed out to the door, and I was going to go to the church. It was in Quincy, Massachusetts, Reverend Maureen Christopher. And a little inner voice said, call first. I'm like, all right. So I picked up the phone. And she said, it's so great to hear from you. We don't have service during the day in the summer. It's at night. Come at 7 o'clock tonight. And I walked in those doors, and it changed my life. It's been 22 years. I'm finally debt-free. This Science of Mind got me my husband. I'm convinced of it. I put a list out. I put it out there what I was looking for. We've been together 17, 18 years. The jobs, everything I've ever really you know, wanted to create for myself, I feel like it happens. And not everything. I mean, the money thing was really going on for a long time there. And finally this year, we were really blessed. And we are completely debt-free. We bought a new house. We moved to Round Rock. And anyway, it's, yeah, it's, I could go on and on. But I think Science of Mind saved my life, really.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Yes, Jenny.
Wonderful sons are awesome. I have one too. But anyway, so I like to use this Science of Mind to bring things into my life too. And I've been studying some courses and learning about some of the practices they have in India. But for years, I've wanted to go to the Taj Mahal and to go to the Ganges River. And so, and I was thinking about it, doing a trip, but one of my friends who lives between California and India, and I were talking 2 days ago, and I told her, gosh, I really want to go. My 60th birthday is coming up, so I really want to go in February. She said, well, I'm going to be there. Why don't you come? You can stay for free with me for 2 weeks, you know. And I said, well, so do you live in North or South India? She said, North. And I said, so can we go to the Taj Mahal? Oh, yeah, we can get my driver to take us to the Taj Mahal. It's a couple hours. I said, well, can we go to the Ganges River? She goes, oh, yeah, that's another 7 hours. But, you know, let's just throw that in there and just do it. But you are my guest, and just come and stay, and we'll do all this prayer work every day and, you know, and see what my country is like. And so it was really exciting, but... So I use that, and so I feel like it's going to be a great spiritual awakening to do this journey.
Thank you, Jenny. Margaret. Oops, I got you hooked over here.
I'm a nervous one also with the microphone. So I found this church probably back in November of last year. I've never joined a church in my life. I've, you know, I was born into churches with my parents, and this is the first one I've ever actually joined, even though I was never given a certificate. Got him. Anyway, I'm just, it doesn't matter. It all works out. I feel like I'm part of this church. It doesn't really matter. But one of the things I saw online was a letting go thing last year, and that's what got me started thinking about, you know, what have I not let go of? And what has impeded me? And I got to fill out the form last year, and I think we shredded them last year. That was really fun. And things started to change for me. My outlooks, I mean, I've always been more of a positive person, but this center and the teachings and the classes really have opened me up. And one of the best classes I took was actually at the South Central Texas. It was about following your Wizard of Oz, following the Yellow Brick Road. And making all the boards I've made, and I have all these things plastered all over my house. And, you know, I'm able to save an extra $500 a month. I made a different account to be able to save for my future, for my retirement. I've been able to follow my intuition more about what's good for me, what's not good for me as far as men. Like, I see it, like, right in front of my face. I mean, something just smacks me and says, wake up. You know, I'm able to do that now and follow it versus saying, well, you know, I can give them a second chance. Nope. Next. You know, I've made some good friends and people I feel like I can call on and get help and prayer. And I just feel enriched. And so I feel blessed. And I feel like this is the right place for me at the right time. It's the first place I've lived for more than, this is the longest place I've lived in 10 years in Austin. So right now it fits me. So thanks.
Thank you, Margaret. Anybody else want to share? Steph.
I've only been here a very short time, and the openness, the love that I've felt has been something that I've never experienced. This is opening up quite a bit for me. All the past times that I've been, things have just touched me so much that I can see that this is a new awakening. And the goal setting is something that I do try to do each year. So this is something to step forward and stuff. And I feel very blessed. Thank all of you.
Thank you, Steph. Anybody? Yes, Marita. Please.
How did you guys know I found this center just about a year ago? My partner and I walked in here last year, and we did take part in one of Richard's classes that really changed our lives. We got close to Margaret and Brooke, and we really made some close friends. If you guys are thinking about doing some of the coursework, it does change your life. And I've only been a part of the church for a year now. I actually joined the church. I've been in ministry for over 20 years in my life and never felt like I needed to join any kind of service or church or membership. But logistically speaking, I think of myself as not as creative, but more logical. And so I just wanted to throw this out there. My income has probably increased about $30,000 this year. And I feel like it's because I learned how to open up to the universe and let go of the lack of the fear. And also, not normally this nervous talking, but giving has changed tremendously. So what I learned this year was that in order to increase your income and change your life, you have to learn how to give. So I'm really excited about that this year. Thanks.
Thank you, Marie.
Anybody else? Is there anybody else who just has the feeling you really would like to do? Oh, yes, yes, I know you.
I wanted to tell you about my God jar. Whenever I have a problem that I can't seem to pray around, I write it down and throw it in my God jar so I can forget it, give it to God. But when I was moving, I found my God jar, and I sat down and I started reading all these big problems that I had had and how they just magically had gone away for me by handing it over and letting God take care of it.
I know we're running over a little bit, but is there anybody else that wants to say something? Ah, okay.
Get too close to the microphone because I'm gonna get it all wet with my tears.
Hold it. Okay.
I really can't say more than just that you all, every single one of you, are a gift to me, and I'm so grateful. And I have been, my heart is a giant treasure for being here with you and for everything that you give to me, so.
Thank you, Danielle.
Some of you don't know who I am, but I'm the youth director here, and I've been with the center for about almost 8 years now. And I just wanted, we've got a lot of people of all different ages here, and I just wanted to tell you, be it your children, be it your neighbors, grandchildren, or whatever, how much I am so appreciative and grateful and inspired by the love and the trust that you have instilled in me to help shape your children and take care of them. Even though we're not back there today, that's okay. And because I'm kind of excited to be out here because I don't ever get to come out here. But through that, I also am a teacher. I teach nonverbal autistic students. I've gone from teaching middle school history for about 12 years to special education, and I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years now. And there was a situation in my life just recently where I just had this overwhelming fear. And I'll explain to you why you guys tie into that in just a second, and I'll make it really short because I know we got to wrap up. The students that I teach, their communication skills, my job is to, help them to try to figure out a way to communicate using iPads, using, sign language. Sometimes it's just writing simple phrases, that are used maybe 3 words or whatever, but the communication is there. And I had a situation, like I said, that I was just overwhelmed with fear. And I'm 42 years old, married with 4 kids, and I kept thinking, it was with cancer, and I kept thinking, I cannot believe this is happening to me. What am I going to do? And I kept looking at these kids, like, if I have to have surgery, who's going to take care of my students? You know, who's going to take care of my kids? Well, what about the kids at church? And I'm not one to ask for somebody else's help. Maybe that's a little bit of stubborn or thinking that I can do it on my own. But you told me to write it down. And I'm going to, doggone it, I might cry. I'm not a crier. But you told me to write it down and to kind of release it and that you guys would pray about it. And what I haven't shared for you with you, long story short, I was at work one day and I was waiting for a call from the pathologist. And it was, I had been waiting for 6 weeks for this call, but I am cancer free. And that is a huge blessing. But I was crying at work one day and trying to, you know, get myself together. And one of my students that is nonverbal, meaning he does not talk at all, came up to me and he did this to my face. And he goes, okay, okay. And it was 30 minutes later that I got that call. And then I checked my email and I got the email, the prayer from Glenda. And it was so in-depth, and it was so moving, it was so spiritual, and it was one of those moments where you're like, all right, I get this. I really get it. And so I'm so grateful that all of this ties into, you know, my spiritual well-being and where I'm going, because I've been so open to so many different religions over my life. And I really think that the power of children working through you in so many different ways, if we just open ourselves up to what they have to say to us, it is a magical thing, and it's a spiritual thing, and it's an emotional thing. And then I want us to not only do that with the children, but with each other, and to open our hearts to one another more and say, it's okay. It's okay.
Thank you, Rhonda. Ah. Let me put this up, and we will wrap this up this morning. Let's have a spiritual mind treatment, shall we? And just relax into the moment and know that that power, that presence that governs, that runs, that has created the universe is the power and presence that exists within each one of us. That there is but one life. That life is God. That life is the life of all. That life is my life now. It is a perfect life. It is a life within which there is the ideal harmony and balance of every element that composes it and beyond that. And that harmony and that balance exists within. It is the perfect harmony and balance that characterizes every aspect of me and every aspect of everyone, everywhere. I accept this as so, and I know that in that acceptance, I open myself to all the good that the universe provides. That my heart, my mind, my soul, my physical being, and the very spirit of me are open to the expression of the highest that is possible, which is beyond anything that I know right now. I accept this. I allow my healing. That is, I allow the wholing, the making whole to occur in every part of my existence. These words I've spoken for everyone that is here. I know that they are true. I know that there is joy and love that is expressed throughout the lives of everyone here, including me, and that life is good. I give thanks that this is so, and so it is.